Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is Anime Complex. My name is Josh.
And James.
And we are back. Our first Skype call. This is a new thing. We're testing it out. Skype actually has its own built-in Skype recorder now, which is useless now at this point. But it seems to work, and we're going to obviously keep it going for this time out. But man, we haven't done an episode in a while. It's been a little over a week, almost 2 weeks now. And, you know, not much has been going on in the world. You know, it's...
No,
it's pretty quiet out there. But the world's on fire. I got finished moving. We're not neighbors anymore, which sucks. So I'm all settled in now. Yeah, I'm all settled in now. We tried like last week, and then they were having the curfews and all that. Is that what was happening too? And then we just finally decided to give up, and we're like, hey, we're just going to do Skype, and then, you know.
Yeah, because the first week was because we were moving. The following week was because of the riots and the curfew.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a little over, like, 2 weeks now. And then so this week I was just some scheduling stuff, so we're going to finally do Skype. We got tired of waiting, so I think, you know, this is going to probably be the new normal going forward. We're going to try to do face-to-face as much as we can, and then do the Skype as much as we can. So,
yeah. So pretty much the Skype will be just like last resort.
And I don't live that far away. You know, I didn't move across the country or anything like that. We were literally like down the street from each other now.
Like walking distance.
Yeah. Now it's about 15 minutes away, but it's not that bad.
It's not bad. No.
All right. And on the show this week, we have a guest, Louise McKee, Bellator ring card girl. Been a part of the Bellator family for a little over a year now, and glad to have her on the show, Skyping in from Newcastle, England. All the way over there, 8 hours away, time difference. So,
and her first podcast is us, so that's awesome.
Her first podcast is us. This is her first podcast, so glad to be the first one for her. She's probably once she gets to the high level, big time talk show host.
Oh, no longer exists.
She'll forget all about us, but not. So,
but we have popped a lot of cherries.
We have when it comes to fighters. I think we made it a point to kind of look out for young fighters and get them on the show. Try to just get to know them first, and once they burst onto the scene. Not even before they burst onto the scene. We got people that were they're just fighters, young fighters looking to get a name out there, and then shortly after, like, literally, it's happened a number of times with us.
Is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah, they end up just blowing up maybe a short time later, and people know who they are, and we lucky enough to get to know them first. A lot of times, their first podcast. Louise McKee is on the show, and she's just great to talk to, and you guys are going to enjoy that interview shortly. First off, let's get to the fights this past weekend, and then we're going to talk about, obviously, break down the ones that are coming up this weekend with Jessica Ai. Amanda Nunes defended her title against Felicia Spencer. This was at the Apex Arena, which I think looks great on camera. They had Woodley and the Apex and Burns, and I thought it looked great. They did an even better kind of setup this time around. Presentation, everything looks good. Everything went smooth. I actually like the commentator interview backstage interview. I don't know. Did you like it? I just liked it. Like how going from like after the fight's over, Daniel Cormier gets on the headset. You have the fighter in the background, in the back on the headset, and they're just chatting with each other right away. It seems like a little bit more of a natural conversation.
It's more WWE like, kind of like how WWE does a show.
Yeah.
As far as the backstage interviews go, but you're right. I mean, unlike the WWE, you seem like they don't try to shoot their shows with no crowd. Yeah. You can't tell there's a crowd, but even if there was a crowd. I think pro wrestling depends on a live crowd, whereas we're kind of accustomed to seeing no crowds with an off-field fighter. So
yeah, Yeah, and I think it works well in the UFC. We knew that UFC could work well without a crowd. We've seen it done before on the Ultimate Fighter finales and all that. So, yeah. But yeah, I thought that was a nice little change that I wouldn't mind them even keeping going forward with that whole backstage interview thing, because it seems like a little bit more of a natural conversation than that quick 2 minute, crowd encouraged kind of like conversation where they feel like they have to like say something crazy. Whereas if they just go to the backstage and then they're talking to Joe Rogan on the headsets, it seems like a more natural conversation. They don't have the crowd to hype them up.
Especially like a couple weeks ago when Bruce Buffer when someone was like interviewing the fighters, they would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is and there's like nobody in the audience.
It's kind of weird.
That thing out.
Yeah, it makes a lot more of a natural thing. I still don't know. I don't know why they kept the walkouts the way they usually do, because there's no crowd and it's just showing the empty walkway. And I think they should just keep that camera angle, high and tight on the fighters if they're going to do any walk to the octagon type stuff. Because you see that there's no crowd and it's kind of like awkward. But aside from that, I think the show went great. The card was good. The main events, you have Sean O'Malley starting off with a knockout win. Neil Magny picking up a win. Aljamain Sterling looking amazing. Cody Garbrandt freaking just coming out of nowhere with that
sick knockout.
Asensio getting a little cocky right there, ended up biting him in the butt. And then you had Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer, and it compared to the rest of the card, it was a little bit of a snooze fest. And just based on the fact that Amanda is so dominant, and you knew right early on with that after the first round that Felicia had nothing for her.
I felt like they should have stopped her in the fourth round. But
yeah, would you have been opposed? I wouldn't have been opposed to them stopping it. No. At least the fourth round.
I think Spencer took too much punishment in that round. I think it would have been a justified stop.
She had a hematoma starting. She was bloodied and busted up. That fifth round was basically pointless. It was unnecessary. That fifth round, I wouldn't have. Yeah, I would have liked them to have stopped it in the fourth.
And, Amanda Nunes becomes the first champion, regardless of gender, to defend her title simultaneously.
Yeah.
Her 145 belt and her 135-pound belt.
And 135-pound belt, yeah. Because Cejudo could have done it, but he dropped his other belts and then defended his last title defense. So, yeah, Amanda is the only one that's holding on to both.
And defending both.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
But yeah, the fight overall was good. I like the whole setup. I like the presentation. They've done two events over there so far. Fight Island is coming up, and we're going to get to that soon.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought the card was good. Where does Amanda go from here? I know she's going to have a baby soon. Her partner is going to have the baby. Obviously, Amanda's not fighting pregnant. And I think, where does she go? There's not a whole lot of contenders for her. What does she do? She wants to, obviously she wants to break some records, so she's gonna continue fighting. But
I think the most intriguing fight out there, which they fought twice already, is Shevchenko.
Yeah,
but other than that, the 145 division is shallow. I think more shallow than the heavyweight division for the men's, and 135, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think the most intriguing fight was a Valentina fight, but who knows?
Do you think they do Megan Anderson and Amanda Nunes?
I kind of hope so, because I want to see Megan get knocked out unconscious and then fucking get up. But
yeah, I think they do that because they're just going to give her some. That's a big name that people are interested in. She wants to break some records. I think just get a couple of fights in. Why not? Just give her Megan Anderson before she calls it a day. I don't know when her baby is going to be due probably towards the end of the year. So she's got some time to at least get one more fight in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be difficult for her to find any challengers in either division. Because just a lot of these girls are just not that good. I know Amanda's great, but there's not a lot of top contenders like Amanda left in the sport. You had Holly Holm, who's probably the last one to really be lingering around. Kat Zingano's still there, but she's not even with the UFC anymore.
The UFC anymore, yeah.
And she was one of the last people to really to beat Amanda Nunes.
I just think Dana White and Sean Sharpe should go out there and kind of scout and go to these smaller promotions or even try to sign one of Bellator's top female women. They didn't do something or build a show around the 135, 145 fighters for the Ultimate Fighter or something like that.
They have to do something because I'm sure there's girls out there that can give her some type of trouble. The elite female athletes that are around her era, they're not really around anymore. You know, no. So.
In a way, it's good because it gives time for Amanda to be with her wife and focus on her kid.
Her kid.
And yeah, just do that. Like, there's no rush in getting back in there. I mean, there's no one to fight, so man, I'll take that time off.
Yeah.
And race it with your family.
And then also in the news, obviously, since the past week or so, the UFC has been in kind of like this bidding negotiation war with a lot of fighters. Connor, Masvidal, Jones, who else is there? I don't even know who else. Usman, all these guys are just looking at, getting a little bit more money. The most notable ones, obviously, Connor, Masvidal, Jones, and probably, I would say, throw Diaz in there. What was your take on all this, on these negotiations and people asking for more money at this time? Is it wrong of them? Is it a lot of them just signed contracts? Is it something that they kind of, they put themselves in this financial hole. Off the bat, what's your thoughts on this whole fighter pay issue?
I think it's fascinating. I think that before, we always talked about the 1% not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
The top fighters and the top stars of the UFC not saying nothing because they were getting paid well. It was always the lower fighters complaining about, not even mid-card, lower-card fighters that are complaining about pay.
That's true.
Talking about union. Talking about all that stuff, more money, but no one really listened because they weren't really stars.
Yeah.
The 1% being the UFC's big guns always stood quiet because they were satisfied with their money. But now you have these 1%ers going out there and publicly feeding with the UFC.
Yeah.
It's catching a lot of attention because it's not Joe Schmo talking. It's guys like Conor McGregor, guys like Jorge Masvidal, guys like John Jones, guys that people know. Casual people know that are making headlines that are catching people's eyes and really question the UFC's payroll structure. So in that case, I think it's great. I think people are paying attention more than they have ever. But I think the UFC should pay them. I think the UFC, they're not making money as far as their gate goes and the revenue, but they're still getting millions of dollars per view sales and whatnot.
And ads. And
they're dealing with ESPN. They're getting money from that. So there's money that they have, but for whatever reason, they don't want to dish it out.
Yeah.
So I think the UFC looks better right now.
And a lot of those financial incentives, like from ESPN, from Reebok, all these other things that the UFC is getting in, those pay-per-view numbers, fighters aren't seeing that. And I know
merchandise, all that stuff. Man.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. Yeah. We always heard about fighter pay and issues with fighter pay, and the one thing were always the bottom tier guys or the mid tier guys. But this is the first time I think collectively that we've seen a large, a decent number of top level fighters complaining all at once about fighters, fighter pay, and what they feel they deserve. And I think so too. I think financially, when Jones gets paid a lot, Connor gets paid a lot, and Masvidal, I'm sure, is getting up there. Diaz gets up there too. These guys make a lot compared to us, compared to maybe lower level athletes in other organizations. But when you compare them to the top level athletes of different sports, and you can even go to tennis, you could go a lot of places.
Golf.
Golf, they don't make nearly as much as any of those. A lot of these athletes and even in golf and tennis and all that wipe their ass with what John Jones makes in a fight in a year.
Yeah, exactly. And right now, I think it's also critical because sports talk is non-existent.
Yeah.
So when you have guys like this and you have like shows like ESPN's First Take, they want sports news. So when they see this, that's going to be on the first topic right there. And people are going to see it now and people are going to pay more attention. Because sports right now is non-existent.
Yeah, and then granted that a lot of those other sports have been around for a long time. They're widely viewed by a lot of people. More so than fringe, you know, sports like combat sports. Combat sports has always been that one-off type of fight. There's not a lot of people like us that watch it regularly that don't just tune in for the big fights. So. Right. And other team sports are very tribal and very collective. You can wear their gear and they, you know, their ups and downs. You go ups and downs with the team, and it's just it's the ability to stay a fan is you know, a lot longer, is a lot higher with other sports, which I think with fighting you can be a fan. Yeah, it's a commitment because you can be a fan of a guy and then he drops four in a row. And then he comes back with two, and then you just got to be. It's hard to, and obviously it's selective. So where you can only you got to pick and choose who you like in the sport, because you know you can't just go like, oh, I like that team, and it doesn't matter who's the team. I just like the team. It's hard. I don't know, but
yeah, because with team sports, it's more the franchise that people should root for than the actual players.
Yeah,
with fighting, it's individual fighters.
Yeah, and I think I think they should get paid more. I think you know obviously this sport is different from others, so the money coming in is not going to be as much as other sports, but they should get paid, because if you're looking at the future of the sport, you know, other athletes that are looking to maybe get into fighting are going to be like, these guys don't make anything. You know, why am I going to go and get punched in the face when I could go and, you know, score a touchdown, you know, or, you know, play soccer or do those other sports when, I mean, they make peanuts, you know?
Yeah. So, or better yet, eat sunflower seeds and then once in a while.
Play baseball. Millions of dollars, yeah, man. I don't even need to be in, like, super tip-top shape for a lot of sports, you know what I mean? Like,
eating peanuts or chewing bubble gum or...
Yeah.
Thinking out.
Baseball is probably one of the most chiller sports, and not that those athletes are not good, because there's a lot of really good athletes in there. But you can get by, you know, just on just skill and talent. Like, if you could throw a 95 mile an hour fastball every time, you don't necessarily have to be in the best shape, because as long as you throw that fastball, you're pretty good. You got a job.
Yeah, job security is there.
So yeah, I think fighter pay is an issue, and I think this may be. I don't know if this will lead to any type of union. I hope it does, because when you have all these guys, you know, getting pissed off, and Dana White's been challenged on TV a couple times recently, you know, I think, you know, that union talk, you know, is coming up again. And when you have the big names, you know, upset, you know, you got some possible little change right there.
Yeah, and it's bad when Dana White's talking shit about unions, you know, on television. So it doesn't make him look good or his brand.
No. So other big news before we get to our guest, Fight Island has been announced. It's going to be in Abu Dhabi. I don't know if you've seen pictures of how the island's set up. I think Aria posted some stuff. It looks like this big island amusement park situation where they got like a bunch of stuff on the island. UFC is going to be one of those things. The setup looked really cool. You know, the location is friendly enough to where fighters are familiar with it. It's not some, you know, island that's in the middle of nowhere. They know where Abu Dhabi is. A lot of these fighters have been there. I think the setup's great. Obviously, it's a little, you know, I think Abu Dhabi, it's not really a desert area. It's kind of a fake island, but
right.
You're like, I guess, whatever. I'm familiar with it, but, you know, you're expecting some jungle. You know what I mean? But, I don't know, what did you think? At least for not the card yet, but the announcement and the location, what would you think?
I think everybody got fooled by Dana White. I think Dana White did a good job of promoting this fight island that we all kind of picture, like a Gilligan's Island kind of thing, where we're going to have an octagon in the middle of like the jungle, like you said. But it's not. It's the same thing. It's the same place where the UFC has had an event before in the past.
Yeah.
So it's not really a fight island. It's just Abu Dhabi, where they had other events in the past.
Where they had the last one, yeah.
So him, but like, keeping us on our tiptoes and trying to guess what's this whole fight is going to be about. It's all it's just Abu Dhabi. So
it was definitely built up more than what it turned out to be.
So in that aspect, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I was too. I was like, Dhabi, it's not Fight Island. You know what I mean? I was expecting like the beach in the background, all this stuff. Yeah. But no, it's just going to look like. Might as well just have it at the Apex. Why don't you just have it at the Apex? Because you're not going to see any beachy stuff. It's all just going to... You're not going to see anything. Like, it's just... You know, they're not in some exotic-looking location.
And that's what made everything so intriguing, because we kind of picture, like, trees in the background or something. But it's not. It's just what they always have their Abu Dhabi events. It's just called a different name.
I don't know. I think so. The card announced was stacked. It's Usman versus Burns, who we just talked about, is going for the welterweight title. That's headlining your card. A lot of drama when it came to who was going to get that title shot. Obviously, a lot of that people in that division were asking for more money. So Gilbert Burns got the call and he said yes. I'm not sure what kind of pay he's getting. He's probably getting not as much as he probably should, but he's getting that shot that he's been wanting. Frankie Edgar, Pedro Munoz, Amanda Ribas, Paige VanZant, which I'm looking forward to. Jessica Andrade, Rose Namajunas is returning. Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo is going for that vacant bantamweight title. Volkanovski versus Max Holloway for the featherweight title. And then obviously for the welterweight title with Usman and Burns. Stack card right off the bat for Fight Island. What do you like about this card?
You know, to be honest, I was kind of disappointed when the fights came out. Uh-huh. I mean, granted, it's a stacked card, but Burns and Usman isn't doing much for me.
I would like to see, because Burns is an exciting guy, but I would like to see how he goes against Usman, who's not necessarily that exciting, I guess. You
know? Yeah. And then I think the most exciting fight is maybe Holloway. The rematch, but they're good fights, though.
They're good fights. They're intriguing fights. Yeah, but that's definitely, I think, the most competitive.
Yeah.
Peter Yan versus Jose Aldo. I love Jose Aldo. Peter Yan is he's a four. He's probably gonna be your next champ, I think.
I think so too. It's gonna be Jose.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It could be more competitive. Jose Aldo still has it in the tank, so it could be pretty competitive. Andrade versus Namajunas, obviously, is a rematch after Andrade slammed her on her head. And Amanda Ribas against Paige VanZant, which I'm curious about, because Paige VanZant's coming, she's been avoiding, but she's been turning down a lot of fight offers and a lot of fight challenges. And she settled on Amanda Ribas. If that's going to be, it's going to come back to bite her, because Amanda Ribas is a little, like, she's tough. Frankie Edgar, Pedro Munoz is a good one. I like that one. We'll see how this goes for him. If it turns out badly, I think he should probably even consider, I think he should consider hanging it up. I thought the card was great. Obviously, when looking in deeper, there's not every fight's competitive, but you got some intriguing fights on there, especially the ones that we just named. That's probably one of the best cards so far since this whole quarantine's been going on, I think. But, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But that's in July. That's on the 11th of July, and we have a couple of fights before then. So,
yeah.
Let's get to our first guest, Luis McKee. Bellator green card girl has joined the family recently, and just so great Skyping in from Newcastle, and very friendly, very, I think the sky's the limit for her. in terms of what you expect, and you're going to see probably a lot more of her in the future. But enjoy, get to know her, follow her, and enjoy this interview with Luis McKee.
Luis McKee, how are you today? Bellator green card girl, glad to have you on the show. It's a pleasure.
Lovely to speak to you guys too. It's actually, believe it or not, my first ever podcast.
Is it?
I've never done this before. So bear with us,
I'm glad to be the first. Sure. Yeah, we enjoy having everybody and everybody associated with mixed martial arts, and obviously the ring card girls are super important, and especially with big companies like Bellator and UFC and all these other promotions, like, you guys are the face. You guys are like, you guys are as important to the sport as fighters are. Yeah. So how are, just to give the fans who have seen you for the past year or so with Bellator, like, give an update of how you've been, how are things going for you during this time?
Too bad at the moment. Obviously, everything's a little bit crazy. But I think I struggled a little bit with the lockdown when it first happened, because obviously we had a lot of events planned, a lot of up and coming things. Of course, I'm self-employed, so at the moment I'm not working. So I kind of hate not being busy. I always like to kind of be on my toes. So I've just been trying to find at the moment just things that will keep me busy, keep me occupied. It's been a nice little break, really. I've got back into fitness, enjoyed all of that, and then I'm so ready to go back to work as soon as this is all over.
Now, what have you found about yourself during this time where you have so much time? Is it family? Are you taking advantage of the extra time with family? What have you enjoyed so far, at least?
I actually haven't been in the UK for this long in about a year and a half. So this is probably the longest time I've been at home with family. I mean, we are almost killing each other at the moment. So we do get under each other's skin a little bit, but it has been lovely to spend time. Especially, I think we're kindling old friendships as well. Obviously, with me being away quite a lot, I haven't been able to see a lot of friends. So coming back home, seeing friends, and spending some quality time. Obviously, all socially distanced at the moment. We've been doing runs or walks. It's been nice.
Yeah. So you reside in Newcastle, is that correct?
Newcastle, yeah. Okay. Georgia. Yeah. It's normally hard to understand.
So how's the vibe over there? Is it are things opening up? Are restaurants opening up? What's it like over there?
Especially over the last probably 2 weeks, I've started training again, one-on-one sessions. We can actually do, the gyms aren't open, but you can train one-on-one at a distance. And they've started a new phase where you can actually join with another household, like a bubble, the corner, where if you live by yourself, you can obviously join and kind of break the social distancing rules. So that's been mentioned this week, and slowly little cafes and things are starting to open. So we've, the last 2 weeks we've been around trying to find every coffee shop that's open to try and entertain ourselves. But yeah, it's slowly getting there, I think.
Okay. And then I know during this time you said about work, everything was put on hold. That's basically for everybody. Now, during this time, has Bellator been in contact with you? Have they let you know, keep you, you know, positive notes and kind of giving you up to date on what may or may not transpire?
Yeah, I think at the moment, obviously, everything's up in the air. Yeah. It's one of those things, everyone's in the same boat, so we can't really complain about it. But yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're very excited to get the shows back on the road. But with everything that's happening at the moment, obviously, there has been a little bit of a slight delay. But hopefully, we'll get back to normal soon, and we'll bang all the shows out as possible.
now your first, I believe your first event was it Birmingham? Was your first event?
No, it was my hometown,
Newcastle. Oh, was your hometown, Newcastle? Awesome.
Yeah, it was in February last year. I didn't actually expect to work the event. It was all very new to me. It still is. I'm still learning a lot of things. How I got into it was a little bit crazy. I was helping out with local charity boxing events on the weekend. And then obviously an email got pinged out for Bellator coming to Newcastle. They needed a ring girl. She had experience and a large following. At the time I had neither. And I got chosen somehow. And then since then, obviously, I do all the European shows, international, and now the US as well, which has been amazing.
Yeah. Now, you said that you did a couple of boxing events, and now you also did club promotions. You did Monster Energy, right?
Yes. So Energy's actually quite new. I signed a contract with those at the end of last year.
Oh, nice.
First big job with them, which has just been cancelled in April. I was meant to go to Finland with them for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that's all been put on hold. But hopefully, when everything opens back up again, we'll be able to get cracking with that.
Yeah. Now, how did, as far as with Bellator, that they who spotted you? Like, how did you get the job in the first place? Did you have an agent or a manager that reached out to them, or did they someone from the company?
I work for Bellator independently, okay. Directly for them myself. At the time, it was a guy who works for the European series that spotted my profile. Uh-huh. Obviously, I replied to the email and said that I was available to work out with maybe to look that I might get it. And obviously put me forward, turned up on the day, and then since then, I think the second show I done was Dublin, which is amazing. Since then, I've never looked back. I've just been on the road ever since.
Now you've done events in the States. I've actually attended some of the events, especially in San Jose, and I think I've seen you there.
Yeah.
Tokyo, I've seen you in Tokyo.
Crazy, yeah. Tokyo was a mad experience. Something I didn't think I'd be able to go over. And when they asked us, I was totally ecstatic. It was amazing. I actually stayed 2 weeks longer and turned it into a little bit of a holiday.
Oh, great.
Tokyo was amazing. Yeah. The fans were crazy. Like, there's so many, they're so enthusiastic. It was lovely to meet everyone.
Now, as far as some of the places you visited, now you extended your time. Do you do that all the time? Do you extend a little bit of a week or so, get a little vacation time?
Times, yeah. Let me think, where have I extended? Actually, LA in January, it was my first time in LA. That's where you guys are based.
Yeah.
So basically, I was there in January. That was like my summer in January. I thought it was really hot, but apparently it's not as cold. LA was lovely. I extended, I did a full week in LA. I'd love to go back sometime soon, and I'd definitely extend there again. I did a couple of extra days in Milan. Milan was a beautiful city to visit. Of course, Tokyo as well.
The cuisine. Are you a big food person? Do you like to dine and like?
People are so shocked when I go to the shows. I eat so much food. I was like, where do you put the food? Like, where does it go to? But my metabolism's slowly starting to slow down and starting to catch up with this. And now I'm starting to think, all right, okay, maybe I shouldn't order two meals. I should just order one like a normal person does.
Because you're very young. You're 21, 20 years old? 20, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're good in terms of the metabolism. As far as cuisine... that you've gone to, dine at certain countries and different. What has been your favorite so far?
Oh my goodness! My favorite cuisine is probably Thai food.
Okay.
Haven't been to Thailand. Milan. I really like the food in Milan. The Italians. We went along the famous strip where all the restaurants were, and we sat and had a nice tea meal. So that was really nice. I think probably Milan for food. Yeah.
And I know with being a part of this sport now, I don't know what your knowledge of the sport was before, and I'm sure the fans expect you to kind of have some knowledge now. Would you say your MMA knowledge has grown in the past year or so?
And it continues to grow. Like I say, I am still learning a lot of it. I've trained in a little bit of jiu-jitsu.
I saw that on your Instagram. Yeah.
And like once obviously the lockdown is done, getting a kind of Thai boxing, just to give that a go. But yeah, like I say, it's always growing my knowledge. I had a small bit of knowledge before I started, and then obviously watching the events, and it's nice to go overseas and see the different styles of fighting with each fighter and kind of building a relationship and kind of getting to know the fighting styles of each person.
Now, what does your family think of all this? Because obviously, this is a great platform. This is not like boxing ring card girls. You know, like boxing ring card girls. You know, they're not known with the fans too much. Like with MMA, once you become a ring card girl, you're kind of, you're welcomed into the fold. You're a part of the company. You're part of the family.
Yeah. I think they were different. The same as me. They were quite skeptical at the start, uh-huh. I would say. They weren't quite sure what I was going into. Obviously, it was new for me as well. But they're so supportive, and they love it now. Like, literally every night on TV, they'll record it, and they'll watch all the fights. Previously, we did always watch MMA in the house. It was always on the TV. But even more so now, like, they won't miss a show. They'll be like, and then they'll try and spot us. They'll be like, where's Louise? but no, they love it. They really enjoy it. They're like, obviously, I gain a lot of experience from it, and they're happy for me for that thing.
Do you have a big family?
No, quite small family. Quite small. I'm the only child.
Oh, you're the only child?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only child. So obviously, they do worry when I go away. Obviously, I travel by myself a lot. Yeah. So my mum especially, she's like, oh my goodness, be careful. But I've managed so far, so.
Yeah.
That's good.
How was it like being for the only child growing up? Like, did you bug your parents about having brothers and sisters? Did you always have cousins over? Like, how was that?
I was all right. I can keep myself occupied. I like my own company, and I think that's probably, I probably got that from being an only child. I definitely think if I was to have kids, which I do want in the future, I would have more than one.
Yeah.
Because I do think growing up, I was probably like, oh, I wish I had like a sister to run to or a brother to run to. But yeah, no, it's never really affected us, I wouldn't say. I've had always like a strong friendship with my friends. I have had cousins around, so there's never been an issue with like having a small family.
No, yeah. I have a 1-year-old myself, so it's like,
lovely.
Yeah, so I'm debating whether even to just bring another one into the household because he's a handful. So I'm just like, you know,
boy or a girl, is it?
Huh?
Boy or a girl?
He's a boy. Boy, yeah, he's a boy.
Lovely.
Yeah. Okay. So with your platform now that you have so many opportunities. Obviously, you signed with Monster, right?
Yeah.
So things are coming on board within the first year. What do you see going forward? Do you think that obviously more business opportunities are going to present themselves? Maybe even hosting gigs, acting gigs, more modeling gigs. What do you think is in the future for you?
Whatever opportunity comes forward, I think, especially with the lockdown period and kind of having a different perspective of things,
yeah.
I'll definitely grab now every opportunity with both hands. Obviously, I'm over the moon to now be working the US shows for Bellator,
yeah.
Alongside the internationals, because originally when I first signed up, I was just European. Obviously, expanding in that sense as well. I'm really looking forward to the opportunities coming forward. I'm looking forward to working with Monster more, and then whatever else comes along as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Now, do you have any personal goals for yourself, or do you think that is acting like something that you want to do? Is hosting something that you want to do? Do you have any? Is there a goal that you have? Like, I'm gonna take advantage of this.
Tough question. I would like to expand and kind of use my platform for different aspects. I really like the fitness side of things as well, yeah. So I'd like to get more involved in kind of MMA training, just so I get a better understanding of the sport. Traveling as well, I think I would like to be based in the US for a little while.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunities over there. But yeah, at the moment, I think I'm just kind of going with the flow.
Going with the flow.
That's kind of what's happened over the last year. Yeah. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. It's been nonstop. It's only like now in the lockdown where I've kind of sat back and thought about a few things and maybe where I want to be. But no, just working hard at the moment, getting back into fitness again, and then obviously expanding my knowledge and working hard for the brands that I do work for.
Now, as far as in the States, is LA or New York, or any of the big cities in your view, or what are you looking for?
LA 100%,
obviously, right? This is where it's at.
There's still a few places I want to go. I want to go to Miami. I haven't been to Miami yet.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been to Chicago, which I'd love to go. Obviously, that was an up and coming show. But LA, fell in love in January when I first came, and honestly, I can't wait to go back. Yeah. It's too big, though. I couldn't spend it all in a week.
Well, I got some real estate friends, so if you're looking to get a place over here, I'll hook you up, okay?
Yeah, definitely, and it's much better weather. At the moment, it's been raining for about 3 days now.
Okay.
It's been super hot. I'm surprised you can't hear it actually in the background because it is so bad.
No, it's been super hot here. It's been in about 100. Yeah.
I don't thrive in a cold climate. I'm not a fan.
No. Yeah, the same here. I prefer the cold because the hot when it gets very, you know, it's LA. It's not that bad.
It's very hot in the summer. Like I say, I came over in January and thought it was warm.
Now you've come across a lot of fighters and a lot of female fighters, a lot of other ring card girls. Have you been able to develop a lot of friendships? Have you kept in touch with people? And who's nice? Who's a really nice person when it comes to MMA? Who have you interacted with? Or is this like, oh, that's a solid person?
Yeah, obviously the more shows I do, you do build a relationship kind of with the fighters and the team and everyone who works behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I try to go into the fight night not being biased. However, it can be a little bit hard, obviously, when you kind of make friendships with some of the fighters. Obviously, Leah McCourt, who headlined the previous Dublin fight, she's a lovely girl. I get on really well with Leah. She's very down-to-earth and humble. But there's quite a few of the Irish fighters I get on with quite well. Ireland's probably one of my favourite shows to do, because the atmosphere and the crowd and the excitement and energy. That is probably my favourite fight to do. Because of the people that are there and the energy that they kind of bring to the show.
Yeah.
I think, does that answer the question?
Yeah, yeah, no, that answers the question. Now, if one was to go to a UK show, Newcastle, Birmingham, Dublin, what would you say as a visitor, what would be the ideal, like, sightseeing, hit restaurants to attend, eat at, bars to eat at, clubs to go to? What's there to do? What's there to do in your area? What's there to do in your world? That's on.
Clubs 100% Newcastle. Newcastle is renowned for the best nightlife in the UK. So if you're looking for clubs, it's Newcastle. Sightseeing, probably London. But atmosphere and crowd, and I quite like the food and the restaurants in Dublin. Yeah. So it's split. But there's a really nice steak restaurant that we always attend when we're in Dublin, so I always get really excited for going there.
Now, do you like the fancy the drinks at all, or like do you have a particular type of, you know, drink when you go out, when you attend?
Well, I'm from Newcastle, so anything alcoholic. Okay. I actually haven't drank for quite a while. My favorite at the moment is probably Bacardi. So Bacardi and Coke. But yeah, I haven't drank for quite a while.
I guess
probably last. Which is good. I've been on a bit of a health kick, eating healthy, and I'm staying away from alcohol. So recently, I haven't been drinking, but I do like a night out. I can't deny that.
No. Obviously, the male fans are going to be wanting to know: are you single? is there dating going on in Luis's world?
No, there is not. 100% single. I think at the moment I'm not looking to be in a relationship, just because I am focusing on myself. I travel around quite a lot, so I don't really have the time to kind of look for someone or meet anyone. So yeah, I'm just doing me, I suppose.
That's good.
I've been taking all the opportunities I can.
That's great. So I really want to thank you for being on the show. I think it's a pleasure getting in touch with you. We hope to attend some events in the future. Obviously, when you come back to the States, it'll be lovely to see you and lovely to meet you and really say hi. Now, as far as social media, let everybody know where to find you, where they can expect you, hopefully in the future once all this clears up.
So Instagram account is Louise_Mackay. Same with Twitter. And Facebook. So if you've got any questions, feel free to DM me and I will be sure to respond. I must admit, I am sorry for delaying a response to yourselves. I did take a little bit of a social media.
It's a good thing.
It is really refreshing. So now I'm back to it, focused, and I'm sure it will smash the rest of the year once everything gets going again.
All right. Pleasure really getting to know you, and it's been awesome. So take care.
Thank you. Hope
to see you at an event soon.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I can't wait to be back around the ring.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
See you later.
All
right. That was Louise McKee. Thank you for being on the show. What such a great personality, so friendly, man. Skyping all the way from Newcastle, England. Man, follow her. Look for her on the next Bellator card, where hopefully we can see her.
We get in person, yeah.
Yeah, because we saw her the last time, but we didn't really know her. Now we got introduced, and I think the world has got introduced. It's her first podcast, the MMA Complex. That's how we do it. So thank you for her to be on the show. Follow her, like, subscribe, all that. Let's get to fight picks. We got a card this weekend.
We'll be watching it together, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Come over, check out the new place, and then we're gonna get some drinks.
Buy some beers for us.
Yeah,
buy some beers.
Let's do it. I got it. I've been drinking a lot more. Scotch whiskey. Well, I've been drinking a lot more, period. But I've gotten into scotch, especially scotch whiskey, and preferably I've been liking the Glenlivet's. I know it's like an introductory type of scotch, but dude, it's no nasty kickback. It's pretty smooth. Mixes well with a lot of stuff. And I got this little thing where it's like you put either you can use some squirt soda or some Perrier water. You squirt some lime in there, do a shot or two, some ice, and dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow before we go to the house, we can stop by the store and we can chop around. And I'll make up some beer, you can pick up some whatever, and then we'll
get some beer.
Hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered, because I need to go home that same night. Not too hammered.
Yeah. All right. So look at the fight this weekend. It's on ESPN. It's at the Apex Arena in Las Vegas, headlined by Jessica Eye and Cynthia Calvillo. Great fight. It's not a barn burner. I'm glad it's Mark De La Rosa, Jordan Espinoza on the card. Andre Feely is making his return. You have Gustavo Lopez, Marab Davishi, something like that. Mm-hmm. Carl Robertson was Marvin Vittori, which that was, I think, postponed from another card, moved to this card because I think some medical issues or whatever. And now we have Jessica Eye versus Cynthia Calvillo. Overall, card's decent. I want to say we necessarily need to go through the rest of the card, pick out any winners here. Just enjoy it, see how it goes. Some of these cards usually kind of sneak up on you and they turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Just Guy versus Cynthia Calvillo. What do you think? Pick a winner. Who do you got?
I'll say Just a Guy.
Just a Guy? She needs to be, well, she's bouncing back. I think it was after the Shevchenko loss.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And Cynthia Calvillo, I think, is... I don't know if she's coming off a loss. She might be coming off a loss. But this is a great fight. I'm going to go with Cynthia Calvillo. I think both of them are dogs, but I think Cynthia is still talented enough to where I think she's going to, she'll break into that top five fight for a title at some point. Where I think Jessica Guy, I want to say she's lost her chances. But she's been in it for a while, and I think Cynthia's still climbing. She's still learning, so I'm going to go with Cynthia. But there you go, man. That's our show. Thank you for Luis for coming on the show, Luis McKee. Follow her on social media, Instagram, and all that. Look for her on the next Bellator card. Should be coming in probably in July, I think. Thank you for you guys all for watching, listening. Our first Skype show.
Yeah, success.
I think it went pretty well. This will be out. We're recording Friday morning. This should be out tonight. And then enjoy the fights this weekend. And then we'll get back to you guys next week.
Yeah, man. Peace, Josh. I'll see you tomorrow night.
I'll see you tomorrow night. We'll get to enjoy the fights.
All right, dude.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. You too, man.